Thank you. So this is some work that has been developed over the last few years with the co-authors shown here, two PhD students, Haruhi Abdu and Robert Heinze, along with David Robinson and Ron Ryle, who's a eco-physiologist at Utah State University. This kind of came out of some work that's been published, and a lot of that work dealt with David Robinson's efforts to develop electromagnetic induction techniques to map watersheds and to determine soil texture and water holding capacities using this technique. And also, David showed that you could link the vegetation patterns with the soil patterns within watershed, which is really nice. And speaking with Ron Ryle, he was interested in this because his interest is in soil resource pools and how those really dictate vegetation and some of the characteristics of plant communities. So I'm going to talk a little more about some work we did to really characterize better this profile of the vegetation within the watershed. So our hypothesis relies on the soil electrical conductivity measurements within a forest ecosystem being primarily affected by clay content. This is assuming the soils are well leached. So the objective here is to employ these electromagnetic induction and electrical resistance imaging techniques in forest soils to inform the ecohydrological studies and really give us an idea of the soil spatial properties and the interactions with vegetation. And the importance of this is being able to map the texture of the soil as a potential indicator of nutrient and water resource pools within the forest and the community. So this is a study site located in northern Utah. It's fairly small. It's about 400 meters long and 200 meters wide. Originally developed as a carbon study, subsequently instrumentation was added to this. And so in the process, they came up with these three different treatments of four different vegetation types across this area. And there's also a snowtell site there, so we get year-round precipitation for this study site. So the techniques, I'll just briefly introduce those, since many of you have seen these before. The electromagnetic induction mapping is giving you a representation of the apparent electrical conductivity, and that's a function of the spacing, which is about 1 meter between the primary and a secondary coil that gives you a reading of the electrical conductivity. And that reading is going to be distributed down into the profile. So it penetrates, depending on the orientation of the coils, from a half meter down to 1.5 meters. By contrast, the electrical resistance imaging is sensitive to an induced current across a pair of electrodes, and you measure the voltage of electrodes between those current electrodes. And so it's a function of the a current, the voltage, and then the spacing between electrodes. And so you get a profile, actually, resistivity of the profile of the soil along a transect. And so these are the two techniques that we were using. And the electrical conductivity then stems from time-invariant properties of water content, soluble and precipitated ions. The temperature can affect those measurements. And then there's time-invariant properties of the texture of the soil, a cation exchange capacity, and can also be influenced by sedimentary layering. So we're primarily interested in the apparent electrical conductivity and associating that primarily with the solid fraction, the textural properties of the soil. So the electromagnetic induction mapping was carried out at two different times during the year. And Harui Abdu is the student that did this work, and so he did a map in the springtime when conditions were fairly wet, and then in August when things had dried down. And so he plotted those on the same scale here in terms of the electrical conductivity. And so you can see the nice scaling primarily as a result of water content. So it's an indication that the texture is the primary feature here. And then using targeted sampling, we go out and take soil samples and determine texture through hydrometer analysis. And then you can associate the electrical conductivity to texture and get a clay percentage map. So this is interesting, and in hindsight, it would have been nice to have this when they were actually setting up these plots of the different vegetation types to include the soil as a part of that decision-making process. So in terms of these questions of the soil resource pool that Ron is very interested in, one question is, how do we quantify the vegetation water resource pool in the subsurface? And another one is, how can we determine this bedrock depth? So how deep is this soil profile and the water within that profile? And some of the challenges that arise is trying to determine this with probes or drilling. You're often hitting rocks that are only intermediate and not necessarily reflecting the depth of the bedrock. So electrical resistance imaging can be used to map the soil profile and the textural properties as well as bedrock. So we chose a transect that ran through this heavy textured region, higher conductivity area, as well as one that transitioned across all four vegetation types. And another reason for choosing this was that in the springtime, we would see overland flow of water melting from the snow in this region, but it would disappear, so we were also interested in some of those features. So the electrical resistance image from this transect is shown here, and some of the features that come out of that are the higher conductivity. So you have the blue areas being high conductivity and darker red, the low conductivity regions. So these are, we assume, associated with higher clay fraction, which correlates with EMI mapping that was calibrated. And the lower electrical conductivity area here, we assume, is bedrock. And so the transition between soil and bedrock is probably in this large gradient in electrical conductivity. And trying to determine or verify that is pretty challenging. Looking at the scale of things here, this is about 10 meters of high conductivity region, and the overall depth here that we're sensing is about 30 meters. So it's prohibitive in terms of trying to verify those depths. So one of the things that I wanted to do was see how well the EMI map correlates along this transect with the ERI information. So we, first of all, walked along the transect with the electromagnetic induction device, and those measurements are shown here in the red. Then we also extracted the electrical conductivity values from the map that had been Krieged as a result of the EMI mapping, and that's the blue symbols. So those correlate very well. And then Robert Heinze, the student that did the ERI mapping here, he also extracted values at a depth of 0.5 meters to compare. So it's a little bit difficult to say where that comparison should take place with these two different techniques. But the green symbols here show the values at about 0.5 meters, and they correlate better at these lower conductivity areas and less well here. And so in order to look at that a little more closely, we also went along the transect and took core samples. It's to look at some of the features there. And it was interesting to see that if we assume the sampling depth of the EMI device is about 0.6 meters, we also show that there's a transition from a silty loam soil to a weak clay in these dark brown symbols, and then to a very strong clay that's it's referred to as the Wasatch Formation, over 50% clay in the orange symbols here. And so the fact that the transition occurs right at about this depth is probably part of the reason that there's some difficulty there, because the clay content goes from about 20% above this to about over 50% just below that position. So it's very, very sensitive region. And then the coring depths were quite variable depending on where you hit rock, and we were trying to get to 1 meter, and in many cases we couldn't go that deep. So now the question of the, well, here's the clay percentage when we look at depths between 15 centimeters and 60 centimeters. I wanted to avoid the surface organic matter, so we started at 15 centimeters down to 60 centimeters. And you can see the clay percentages don't necessarily reflect what we have in terms of the higher conductivity regions right through here. And again, some of that is just choosing a sampling depth, physically sampling and determining texture versus measuring electrical conductivity, which has a more continuous sampling volume, deeper than what we're sampling here. Okay, so now another aspect to this is the vegetation types. So we had conifer, aspen through here, sage, grass, and then back into conifers down here. And looking at the vegetation types associated with what looks like a soil profile, and we just applied some simple pedo transfer functions based on the soil texture to estimate what the soil moisture reservoir would be in this region. And so using this rough outline of where bedrock is apparently transitioning from the soil, then we get a moisture reservoir that looks something like this. And what Ron was interested in was the fact that the aspen are sort of dominant in this region, where there's a very large, almost infinite reservoir in terms of there being several meters of water. Whether or not the plant roots are going to get down to that water, and whether or not it would move up into the root zone, is a question. But it was interesting to see this correlation of the aspen and this larger soil moisture reservoir. So in summary, the electromagnetic induction mapping is being increasingly implemented in watershed studies, and has promise for being able to correlate soil properties with vegetation structure. And in this case, we found electrical resistance imaging was useful to extend that information into the profile and get a better idea what this depth of the soil, as well as the potential resource for water for plant root uptake, is there. And coupling EMI measurements here revealed the spatial detail of this soil clay content associated with increased soil moisture storage. And we saw a strong correlation between this very thick clay region and the aspen community in this case. Thank you.